Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings and welcome. Turn your thing on.
Greetings and welcome to Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's show and study. Dunamis of Acts, Part 2, The Promise. The promise of the Spirit of God finally has come along with the promise of redemption. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, March 1st, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 30, verse 11 through chapter 34, verse 35, 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 39, and the New Testament portion is Mark chapter 7, verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 38. Read the latest articles by The Watchman, go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Light shining in the darkness. Light shines into the darkness, but how great is that darkness? How great is thy light which shines upon the darkened hearts of men? Yet there comes another whose light and power are of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is he who will rid us of this darkness and bring us the purity and holiness of his kingdom. And so you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read that and the other articles, and also to listen to the shows by The Watchman. You can hear Warn Radio from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Hear us worldwide on the best apps on the planet in the most popular website. And you can listen to all the shows on the front page of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can get our Remnant Battle Lines app through the link on the front of warn-usa.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. And we also have three Twitter accounts, hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman, so you can follow us on Twitter. Tonight, on Dunamis of Acts Part 2, The Promise. This is on might and power of the Holy Spirit, which was poured out upon all believers. Now we find Peter giving his sermon, and in this we find the first words of the promise which is given by God to all who will repent and believe upon Yeshua, Jesus Christ. A promise that is to all generations, no matter how far off they may be from the original event we called Pentecost. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. It's almost Friday.
Yes, and we are on the 1st of March. This is spring. Spring has sprung.
Yes, that's right. We're excited.
Although spring in the calendar goes the 20th, there's a reason why we say that on the 1st, isn't there, Tower?
Yes, because that's how they, the weather people track spring. It's from
the 1st of March through the end of May. And that's how they track the months, the seasons, from the 1st of the month.
So that's why.
They can keep better records that way. They can keep better records that way.
Well, you know, and of course it got pretty nice today. You know, we do have, when you get in this in Wyoming, you're not out of the, the whole thing yet. But you're pretty.
We could still get a major storm in April.
Yeah, but you're pretty much out of it. You know, winter is over. But our spring around here, we can get a pile of snow and it can be cold and wet.
Yes.
And blowy. And snowy.
But that's okay. The sun's coming out every day now.
Yeah. Well, and we want it to. We've had enough of winter.
Uh-huh.
The winter of our discontent. Well, I really haven't had a winter of discontent for many, many years. A long, 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 long time ago.
It hasn't been that bad. It's just the cold.
No.
I just don't care for the cold. But
No, it's been a good, actually good. You know, we keep so busy with everything that you don't have, I don't know, they just come and go. Now, of course, summer is better because we do more traveling in the summertime. You know, we do. And, of course, we don't have another event like we did last summer, that is the Great Summer Eclipse. So,
yeah.
You know, we're done with that. And, of course, the 2014-2015 ISIS slaughter, that's no more. So, the only thing we have is Putin came out and he was tracked today with a lot of the news stories saying that Russia has created a missile that can go anywhere and cannot be stopped. It's a nuclear warhead that they created and a rocket that absolutely can't be stopped. Probably because it has, I would say has a guidance to it that enables it to avoid all others that try to catch it, you know. It's hard to say, but he made the news, you know, so.
That's interesting.
Yeah, well. You know, the bottom line of it is, you know, he said, well, if America attacks, you know, we will use that. You know, as if we're going to do it. But all of Europe, you know, this is what possessed, Bush a long time ago to talk about putting, the missile defense system over in Europe. But it really didn't get done, and they're still working on it. I don't know what all they got over there now, but... But, you know, Europe, because there's former Russian republics over there that are with NATO now, and a lot of them are worried that Russia, because of what they did over Crimea and the Ukraine now, is going to try to attack them all. So they don't trust Russia, and that's all there is to it. Now, see, if you go back to Hitler's time, Hitler knew that with his army, he could sweep all the way to the Atlantic, and once he got it going, he could just run right over him, and he was right. The problem he ran into, of course, was the fact that the UK is on its own island, and the other thing of it is, America wasn't in the war, but when America got in the war, then things turned around, and Hitler lost their butt. But it took a while because of the Japanese invasion, attack on Pearl Harbor. But in the end, everything, Hitler lost. But see, it did take... America getting in the mix to stop Hitler. And now, of course, you've got this, so many threats that, it's not just like one Hitler. I mean, we've got Russia, China, we've got Iran, we've got, Turkey now. And, that's just all there is to it. There's just a lot of threats. And then we got threats of terrorism from the, from inside the borders. And, you know, that's all there is to it. Now, see, if you remember in times past when we kind of enforced our borders and we stopped all this open border stuff, we didn't seem to have the Muslim terrorist attacks that we do now. At any rate, needless to say, that's where we're at, you know. And today we are going to be talking, we are in the book of Acts, and we're going to be there for a while. But that's okay, too. And so it'll be, we'll be doing the whole entire book of Acts.
And, yeah, that'll be fun.
And, of course, we want to remind you to join check out our other show from Get Healthy Young Living, our healthy radio broadcast. It started out 30 minutes, and it's anywhere from 30 to 40 to 50 minutes. It's whenever, I can get Tower to stop talking. That's really how we end it.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
And so when we get her done, then we can close the show, you know. But
I'm lucky to get a word in edgewise.
Oh, that's what you say, you know. Nobody believes that at all.
Oh, sure they do.
Well, at any rate, you can check it out. We usually try to do it on the weekends, and it's meant to be an easy, fun show about health and living and just lifestyles, and we talk about a lot of different subjects. So check it out. And you can actually listen to it from any of the Spreaker apps on warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. But you can also listen to it directly from our Get Healthy Young Living website, which has the regular show embedded right in the site and everything. And you can also listen to it from Spreaker and iHeartRadio, and I don't know, there's a lot of them that it's all on, all at the same time. So, because we've got quite an extensive array of places you can hear it from. And so, let's see, what else is new today? I don't know what else is new. I know that, Trump came out and said he wanted to regulate guns or take the guns away first. I mean, that's about the way what Trump does. You know, he's not like Obama. Obama would keep it to himself, and then he would turn around and do it when you weren't looking. Trump will just blurt it out and put it in a tweet, and away you go. You know, what you see is what you get. Trump is not a politician. And he's sometimes isn't very tactful. He's a billionaire, you know. He's a billionaire who decided to be president, you know. And what does a billionaire do? Well, just pretty much anything they want to do, you know. Except this billionaire got elected. And that's what the Republicans and the Democrats weren't counting on. And he made an enemy of all of them all of a sudden. But some of the Republicans are coming around, and some of the Democrats, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're trying to get into Russia or if they really want to stay here or what. But at any rate, it is a mess. Well, the Mueller investigation, it's still going on. I don't know what the hell's going on with that, excuse me, but it's just full of hell is what it is, and it's no good.
Well, I've seen that... a headline that Trump wanted to put tariffs on imports of aluminum and steel, I believe it was. So the stocks market fell because of that today.
Well, it was up because of something else he was doing. I mean, I don't watch the stock market at all because these guys, it goes up and down depending on, and this is the way it works. If they think they can make money, then the stock market will go up. If they want to kind of hold off and be kind of, save their money, they'll sell off and then come back at another time. I mean, it's just like buying and selling. And the thing with the stock market today, because of computers, they can do all kinds of transactions in a fraction of just a minute because of the way the computers work now. It's all automatic. Yeah. It's on computers. And, give me a break. I don't care. You know, whatever it does, you know, whether it's a bubble, whether it's not a bubble, you know. It's just whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know, just one of them things. I don't have to worry about it anyway, because I don't have millions of dollars in the stock market. You know.
Yeah, I don't think we have anything in the stock market, so I think we're good.
Well, you know, I do. I think I have $15 in my pocket, so see, I don't need to have a lot of money in the.
Yeah.
You know, but, well, that's the way it goes. You know, a lot of the world, you know, they just hang on to the stock market. It's just like the thing, you know. And then, of course, there's Bitcoin. And I mean, Bitcoin, you know, that's what the dollar is. It's a Bitcoin, too. It's about three quarters worthless because there's no silver in it at all. I mean, the only good your currency is going to do, I mean, if and when that dollar ever does fall and everything. You know, we were talking about this years ago, 20 years ago or better. We were talking about that fall, and it never did. And of course, you know, there are those that have been warning for 20 years that it's going to fall. Well, yeah, I mean, if you say it, one of these days you're going to be right. You know, if you keep saying it for 20 years, eventually, you know, you're going to be right. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But at any rate, you know, just like a lot of people have been talking about, you know, all the rumblings underneath Yellowstone. Well, you know, Tower and I live here where Yellowstone is, pretty much. And, you know, I don't lose one second of sleep over that. You know, I might lose sleep over something else, but I don't lose it over, you know, that going. Because if and when it ever goes, I mean, we're going to be with the Lord, so that's fine with me. Like David Wilkerson said, he said, you know, we could leave here, speaking of leaving the church there on Times Square, and step out, you know, on the street and instantly get hit by a car that's going fast, and we'd be instantly with the Lord. And he says, what's the matter with that? Matter of fact, that did happen to one of our old churches, that one of our first churches we went to here locally, and Brother Kennedy was there. But at any rate, we had a friend of ours. It was after we had left. We'd been to Bible school, and he stepped out in the street, and he was an older guy and got hit.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that does happen, you know, but David Wilkerson was using that as an illustration that life is temporal. You never know what's going to happen. One minute you're here, the next minute you're gone. It's kind of funny because it's not funny, but, you know, that's what happened with David Wilkerson. Him and his wife were down south. They were driving on a road, on a highway. I think it was down in Texas, and he was going around a semi and met something head on and got instantly killed. She lived for a while and then she died. But
yeah, I think about maybe not even a year, I don't think.
But see, a lot of them have, you know, the old voices and the old people that used to have a national presence to warn America are gone. There's nobody left. And then today, of course, you know, Disney came out, and they've got a main character in a movie. They're going to do another movie of this Ice Princess.
Oh,
and, the rumor, according to CNN, and they sent this around, is that this Ice Princess is going to be a lesbian.
Oh, dear God. I never even seen the other one, and I'm not interested in it, of course, but dear God.
Well, this is the whore in all of its, you know, glorification, you know, and that is the whore of Babylon. You know, that's exactly what that is.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
No matter, you know, and if you want to be that way, that's, you know, go right ahead. The Lord says, go ahead. If you know, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Revelation 22. So go ahead, you know. As far as Disney started doing this thing many, many years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, we talked about it maybe even longer than 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's been so long ago that Tower and I used to talk about the way Disney was going. I mean, we could see it. So, you know, I mean, who cares? I mean, I don't really watch Disney too much. I don't really care what Disney does. Disney, of course, is connected with ABC, and I could care less what ABC does, and I don't even care what NBC does, CBS does, MSNBC. I don't care. Frankly, I don't care what a lot of these people do. You know, they can do whatever they want to do. If they want to try to take away the guns, if they want to try to blow everything up, I mean, whatever you want to do, I mean, just go help yourself, because guess what? The Lord's coming, and we trust him, and no matter what happens, we're going to trust in him. And we do happen to know a thing or two about what is going to come. So we're not too worried about all this fluff and all this baloney and hogwash and deep doo-doo that you guys like to spread all over the place, because we don't lean to every little wind that goes flying through.
Yeah.
Try trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and reading his word. Why don't you try that for a while instead of being wicked? You know, that might help you. You might find that there is a true living God, that he does forgive, and that you can get out of that stuff you're in, and he can totally deliver you. But, you know, hey, that's neither here nor there. If, you know, if you're an atheist, well, you don't believe in God anyway, but one day you will. And if you're an agnostic, you're in the same boat, because one day you're going to stand before the one you don't believe in. There's no evidence that God exists. That is, until you stand before him. Then there will be evidence. Will that be good enough for you? Yeah, that'll be a day. Yeah, when the heavens roll back in a scroll. Yeah, boy, I feel another sermon coming on here. We better get to Acts before I get waylaid. Dear God.
Okay.
Yep, we got to do it. So.
Okay. Well,
do you got anything you want to say?
Nope.
Okay.
No. Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side. See, folks, I told you it was hard for me to get a word in edgewise with Tower.
Yeah, whatever.
So at any rate, we love her anyway.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Yep, goodbye. Oh, by the way, folks, you're not listening to two professionals here. You know, we preach, we teach the Word of God, we work hard for the Lord, and if you find a couple little things that don't match, you know, your professional airing, well, that's too bad, okay? You know, but if you want to, you know, listen to a couple of people that really care, that really love you, and will give you the Word of God, and give you the truth, and an anointed Word, then stick with us, listen, and believe the Word. Now, in Acts 2:22, and Acts, you know, we are in this second chapter of Acts. Matter of fact, there was a singing group, second chapter of Acts. I haven't seen them for a long time. Maybe they're still out there, but I don't really listen to a lot of that, all that music. I like the old gospel hymns. And speaking of the old gospel, you can't get any more older than Acts, the second chapter, because the gospel now is only one chapter old. I mean, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and then Peter and the boys and the girls got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, everybody there in Jerusalem was gathered for Pentecost, because it was one of the required feasts to attend, to come to Jerusalem. And so they wanted to know, you know, why these people are just drunk, and but they weren't. And Peter started preaching. And so in verse 22, Peter continues. He says, "You men of Israel, hear these words: Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." Now he's not telling them anything they don't know. Now, he could have said the Son of Almighty God, and he would have been true. But although Christ was, you know, God, God in the flesh, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, Scripture says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the Word, John chapter 1. But, you see, he said a man approved. Because God assumed flesh. Now, you see, in order not to make them mad, but to tell them the truth, that he was a man, he did appear. He didn't come out of a spaceship. You know, he came as the suffering servant, as the one who was going to die on the cross for the sins of men. But the thing of it is that as John concludes his book, he says, you know, the world could not contain all the words that could be written about him and about the things that he did. And from the Gospels that we have and from the Word that we have a limited picture of everything that Jesus did and of his miracles. We have a picture, that which God has painted through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So he's telling them he's a man approved to God among you by, and what that means is God sent him. He was his only begotten son, and he sent him down there, and he was approved, and God bore witness to him. And that's when John officially baptized him, and God said, in the whole course, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I well please, hear ye him." And then, of course, during the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John saw the Lord transfigured, and, of course, that was another point of glory that they actually did see. And, of course, the miracles that he did was unlike anything that anybody had ever done. And, of course, it was really illustrated during the raising of Lazarus from the dead, when he illustrated that he is the resurrection of life. That was the whole point of Lazarus's miracle, because Lazarus had been dead, you know, for a while, and by this time he stank, according to what the women told the Lord. The Lord said, "Roll the stone away anyway, because I'm going to raise him from the dead. Whether you think he stinks or not, I'm going to raise him from the dead. And when I raise people from the dead, they're going to be raised, and they're going to be healed, and they're going to be whole, and they're going to be to the glory of God." And that's exactly what Lazarus was. And when he came out of there, that shocked the Jews and the big mucky mucks from the high priests. They could see, well, you know, I mean, if this guy keeps going around here in Jerusalem, the whole world's going to follow after him. You know, that's what they were worried about. You know, the Romans would get excited because they saw that this Jesus would be this Messiah, Yahshua to them, would have been one of those that, you know, couldn't be stopped. And, of course, the Romans would come in and would take all their stuff and would blame the high priest and so on. So they made a big deal out of it. They were afraid of the Lord. Really, they were afraid of the Lord. They were afraid of what he was doing, so they had to try to find a way to stop him. And of course, eventually he went to the cross. But see here, you know, Peter's bringing all this up. He says, "Which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know." See, they couldn't deny that. And then he goes on to say, "Him being delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Now that's exactly what it was. And, of course, whenever you have determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, it is this exact thing that's going to happen. The foreknowledge of God knew exactly what was going to happen, and it was the counsel of God. You know, Jesus Christ, Yahshua, was slain before the foundation of the world. The Father and the Son got together and declared this is what was going to happen. And all this, you know, God calling the end from the beginning. And that's the foreknowledge, and the determinate counsel means it's all going to be carried out. And, of course, he says, "You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain," because wickedness ruled the day. And, of course, you know, the whole day, you know, the whole time in the event of the cross was about wickedness. Because Christ was the only part of this. The counsel of God and the foreknowledge of God was perfect and pure and whole. Christ himself was perfect, pure, and whole. And he was the perfect lamb sacrifice. He had to be blameless. And so they took him. And see, this is where Peter, when he brings this down, he says, "By wicked hands have crucified and slain." And that's exactly what they did do. But see, the thing of it is that Christ himself said that I give my life up. You don't take my life from me. I give my life. See, and that's the whole thing. And this is the thing that even the Muslims try to push and others. The fact that he is not the Son of God, and the fact that he's a prophet that didn't finish what he was to do because they killed him. But see, this was the whole purpose. The whole purpose was for him as the Lamb of God to be slain, and that fulfilled, of course, the Passover Lamb. And it also, he came and he fulfilled Pentecost as well. He sent the Holy Spirit. Pentecost celebrates the giving of the law. The Lord said that I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so we find the fulfillment of the law literally in Christ dying on the cross, being resurrected from the dead. But see, the guilt here, though, was on the Jews and those who had taken him and crucified him and killed him. Although he said, I give my life, they still killed him. And so then in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. In other words, there's no way death could have held him in. No way. And he also said, before they ever crucified him, he said, I have the power to give my life and have the power to take it back again. And, you know, he knew very well that once he would go in, you know, and be crucified, that he'd be resurrected from the dead. He knew that death couldn't hold him. Why? Because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But he did die, and he died for our sins. Now, see, that's the whole crux. That's the whole center of everything. When we talk about the time span, when we talk about life itself, when we talk about the calendar, when we talk about all the events that mankind has known, it revolves around one event. Although you have many others that don't believe that from a Christian standpoint, that's exactly where it is, because in the middle is Christ who died on the cross, and before that is B.C., before Christ. After that is A.D., after death. Nevertheless, Peter gets into saying, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Now see, this is all important, because the Lord is not going to be moved. You know, he's always stable. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's not going anywhere. And neither is the Father. I mean, this is the solid point of the whole issue here, is that while men and women and the earth may waver and the heavens may waver, and while sin, as Isaiah says in chapter 24, as the curse devours the earth, and we see the end of days coming and all these things happening, and you see the earth moving to and fro, and you see all the things, you know, they have global warming and Yellowstone's going to blow and all the world is going to go into chaos and everything's happening. Of course, there's the beast that's coming. And a lot of that, the mark of the beast. And so you have all this stuff literally going on. But see, God is not moved. Not moved at all. And that's the point of what David speaks about. Because God never went anywhere. And in verse 27, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And so Christ actually came out with the keys of death and hell. And, of course, in Revelation, that's what he says, chapter 1. And he's the one that has the keys to death and hell. And he's the one that the last enemy that he's going to destroy. There's grave, or the death, and there's hell. He's going to destroy all of it. Hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. But you see, one of these days, this is going to be over. We're not going to always be living on this earth full of sin. And the point that Peter is making here to the Jews that are gathered is that this is a great day. He says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." And, of course, Christ is of David. And we see him prophetically as the greater son of David. And when he sets up in the millennium and rules and reigns on the throne, he will be on his throne ruling as the greater son of David. He will be ruling from Jerusalem. He will be ruling in the temple. He will be ruling. Acts 2:31. "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." Now, of course, the law says, let everything be done. Let everything be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Let every word be established by two or three witnesses. Well, there was a lot more witnesses than two or three. There was a lot of witnesses. And Peter is standing up as an apostle saying, God raised him up, we're witnesses. How would they know that? Well, there's only one way. They would have to have seen him. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear," speaking of the coming of the Holy Ghost and the falling of the Holy Spirit upon those in the upper room, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and the miracle that everybody could hear and understand what they were saying. He goes on to say, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now you see, Christ is going to make all the enemies under his feet. And, you know, there, when we look at this whole thing, it's important to understand, and there is an in-depth thing in Corinthians about this, that when the Lord gets done putting down all the enemies, plus death and hell, and everything is set, then he's going to subject himself back to the Father so that everything will be all in all. Everything will be subject to the Father. And so it's a perfect picture when you look at it about how God has sent forth his Son to destroy the enmity between man and God, to make a place for man as the sons of God, to redeem the earth and the heavens and all of nature and all of the animals, because all of creation is groaning. Now, you see, the thing that Peter is trying to get across, because the witness is to come to Israel first and then to the Gentiles. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ," anointed Lord. "Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost. "Then, for this promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Now see, this is really the thing. Today, as we sit, we believe in that promise. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise of repentance, the promise of the Holy Ghost, the promise of deliverance, of salvation, of redemption, is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Because the Lord said, actually John testified of the Lord in John chapter 1, said he went to his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. And of course, there's a little part about the power of God in that. They were delivered, changed, made whole, made the sons of God by the power of God, not by the will of men. And so this is the imperative here, that the high priest might have thought, and those who plotted with him, that this would be the end, you get rid of the little preacher. And they might have even anticipated that, you know, his radical followers are going to say, you know, they're going to steal the body and he's going to be alive or something, they're going to lie. And we've had a lot of lies out there. Now, see, this is where we, in today's society, we think every old book that comes along is the truth. And believe you me, there's some abominations out there that, you know, and stories and foolishness and idiocies that have been propagated by those who hate the Lord, those who oppose this redemption, those who were Jews who came up with this stuff. And it's been going through the nations all this time since Pentecost. And see, one of these days, you're going to know the truth. See, we're taking this and we're relating this to you, but one of these days, you know, we will see him come. And it's not just going to be what we thought, what we believed, what we read, what the church believed. It's going to be real. Even more real than it is now. And the reason people believe today is because the Lord reveals himself to them. See, now this is a supernatural event that came from the supernatural realm, poured out upon flesh, and a supernatural miracle happened, something from the supernatural, another realm, that came in and affected the physical realm, which where humans were. And that is exactly the same kind of thing that happens today, where God can make himself real to his people, to those who believe. The Lord himself said, you know, that my sheep hear my voice. You know, only in the world of America and around the world do you get to the point where you have these so-called movie stars and media types who come out and say, well, nobody can hear the voice of God. You know, I mean, it's one thing to talk to God, just like you're a rote puppet just talking and God never hears, you know. But it's an entirely different thing when you start saying that you hear God talk to you. Now, that's when you start winding up in the nut house. See, and this is what they really think. Now, see, as far as a Christian goes, as far as your churches around you go, somewhere along the line, some of you got to climb out of that agnosticism that's creeped into your church. Somewhere along the line, some of that atheism has to come out of there. And somewhere along the line, some of that liberalistic attitude that, well, the Bible isn't really the Bible, and the Lord isn't really the Son of God, and, you know, God isn't really doing this, and all ways lead to heaven. That is exactly where the devil wants you to place your nest, and that's going to send you into the pit of hell. Now, unless you can understand and believe that there is one gospel, there is one Lord, there is one redemption, and there is one Son of God who died on the cross for the sins for all eternity, forever after, and our Father, Father sent him to do this, and this is it. If you fail this, if you reject this all of your life, and you go out of this life not believing or not receiving him, you are going to face the wrath of God, because the wrath of God is on you anyway. The curse is on you anyway. Read John 3:16. Everybody in the world seems to know John 3:16. But you get beyond the John 3:16 and read down there. If you don't believe, then you're condemned already. You're cursed already. Why? Because you're living in darkness. That's why Christ came, so you wouldn't be in the curse, so you wouldn't be in darkness. But the same section, John 3:16 and on, also says they're not going to come to the light because they love darkness more. And of course, the article at the beginning, when Tower was telling you about it, light shining in the darkness, I deal with this very subject. And I can tell you today that things ain't going to go well for America and the nations. They're not. We're living in this part where, you know, you can thank God that it's not any worse than it already is, but it's not going to go back the other way. Darkness is going to grow, and people who love darkness are going to continue to do it. Now, there is a power, and there is going to be a church, and there is going to be believers, and they are going to be one. It's not going to be your denominations that's going to save you. It's not going to be some big voice. Now, you see, Billy Graham died, and we have all kinds of people. Because he was laying in state, you had a bunch of atheists, agnostics, and lesbian groups and homosexual groups and others who all protested Billy Graham laying in wherever it was, the Capitol Rotundas, where they usually put him, because he shouldn't be there, because he didn't represent all of us. Well, I got news for you. He did represent all of us. You may not be of us because you're in the latter part of America. America has changed. But the America as America used to be knows very well what Billy Graham did and what he was. But even Billy Graham would tell you that it's not about me, it's about the Lord. The bottom line of it is that the world will always pull away from recognizing anybody that gets close to the Lord and preaches the truth. When you find the world, you know, praising some preacher out there and saying he's the greatest preacher since, you know, peanut butter or something. I mean, you better run the other way. And I could give you a list here. See, the success of a preacher, you know, is not how many people in his church. It's not that the media knows that he's one of the biggest pastors in America. It's not that everybody loves him. No. Matter of fact, if you take the example of our Lord, they actually spat upon him, cursed upon him, beat him up, threw him on the cross, mocked him when he was up there. Then, of course, then one of the soldiers stabbed him in the side with a spear and he died. Now, see, that's how they treated our Lord. And the Lord said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. So, you know, the first of all of it is, you need to change all this modern-day idea of what a church really is. Because, see, our pastors are more like presidents of corporations that have a board of directors that oversee, you know, the whole running of the corporation. And, of course, these corporations are pretty rich and they don't have to pay taxes, so they do pretty well. Now, see, in Acts 2:41, it says, then they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added in them about 3,000 souls. And they were added because they did a lot of advertising. They have a brand new church. The preacher didn't tell them about sin. You know, they lived in America. They were in a nice part of, you know, Hollywood. And they got a lot of TV coverage. So all 3,000 came out in one day. And that's why they all gladly received his word. No, that's not how it happened. These people were standing out. They heard him preach. And guess what? He didn't have a microphone. dear God in heaven. He didn't give away, you know, free loaves of challah bread or something. You know, if you'll just believe, come over here, Peter's going to be preaching, and we'll all give you a free tallit. And if you do sign up today, we'll give you an extra tallit just for signing up today. That is our salvation message today. Come! You know, and if you give us so much money, I know God will give it back to you, and we'll give you a free Bible and a stick pin. That's the way we do it in America, folks. I'll tell you, when I was first going through, me and my buddies through Bible school, we hated free Bibles and stick pins because every preacher was doing it in America. That's the way you get the move of God. No, it's not the way you give the move of God. That's not the way you get the move of God. That's not the way you get people saved. If you know, it's like saving you out of a mucky mess and mire that you fall into and you can't get out of, like quicksand. God cleans you up, pulls you out, sets you to the side, washes you off, cleans you, but not just the outside, the inside. That's the most important. So then it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Okay, the apostles' doctrine. Well, that went on a long time ago. Fellowship, well, we still have that. Breaking of bread, we have some of that. Prayers, well, you know, you got me. I don't know if they pray or not in some of them churches. Well, surely they do, Watchmen. Well, you know, I could tell you a few stories, but we'll just move on. But fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, see, we're going to get into this early church. And see, this is an early church where people actually wind up dead. Okay? So if you were having, you know, a church service, and everybody suddenly added, and everything was going really good, and then all of a sudden, one of your parishioners, two of your parishioners come in and lie to you, and then all of a sudden they wind up dead, you're going to have the authorities, the American law enforcement authorities at your church, knocking down the door, closing it down, interviewing everybody to find out why you killed those two people. And then you, when you tell them that, you know, they lied unto God, and they'll say, well, where's God at? Well, he's on the inside. He's the Holy Spirit. Then they're going to think you're crazy. And then they're going to look around for a way, well, how did they die? What did you do to them? They would look for evidence. They'd get DNA out. They'd do everything they could to figure out why people died. Now, we'll get into this a little bit more, but see, this is the supernatural nature of what the church is to be, not just at Pentecost, but today. And if you think God, when he gave the word, and when he gave salvation to men, that he meant for men to turn around and create hundreds of thousands of individual denominations, all having their own little variation on the theme of doctrine, and none of them really following the apostles' doctrine, and many of them, in fact, not even believing some of the things that the apostles believed, and they all call it Christianity, and they all call it church, and they all think that's fine. I got news for you. That's wrong. I don't care if you don't like it. It's wrong. Now, we're a long ways away, but I'm here to tell you, I didn't come to fix it. I'm just preaching the Word of God. But I'm telling you who is going to fix it. And that's the Lord. Judgment will begin first at the house of God. Yeah. You know, you're worried about the tribulation and you think you're going to go in the rapture. I got news for you. Something else is going to happen. And you don't have to believe me. You just go right on believing what you're going to do. Live just how you're doing now, because God will work it out. That's the way it is. And that's why we're going through Acts. Because I want you to catch a glimpse of the true move of God, the true church. It's not the First Church of Jerusalem that gets all the glory. It's not Peter that gets all the glory. It's the Lord. And that's what you have to understand. Well, we're done with our first hour. And there's so much in this thing that we can It just amazes me. The thing that is going on and the way things are today. But don't grieve. Don't be mad. Look to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word in this, at the end of this first hour. Bless those who have heard it and move in their hearts, and bring them back to second hour. Now, we're going to go into second hour. And when we do, we'll continue. So we're going to close this out, and we'll be back. Welcome. This is second hour.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, March 1st, 2018. You are listening to Warren Radio. Check out our Get Healthy Young Living show, which we're doing every week on Sunday. It's Get Healthy Young Living, or Living Young as You Grow Old. And you can find that at gethealthyyoungliving.com. Find us on Facebook at Experience Healthy Young Living, and on Twitter at #Irish_harvest. And now I welcome back the Watchman for our in-depth study on Dudamus of Acts Part 2.
Thank you, Tower.
You're welcome.
Now, we're in Acts 2:44, and it says, and this is the part that, while there's a lot of things, fear came upon every soul. Now, this is the godly fear. And many signs, wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, see, I'm a firm believer there's a couple of things missing in the church, among other things. And that is, number one, a true reverence for God. A healthy fear of the Lord. A fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's by the fear of the Lord that men depart from evil. And when you begin to think that God's asleep, he's out golfing somewhere or whatever, and you begin seeing. And, of course, we were warned, you know, because sin and iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. Now, see, when you begin to wax cold, then God goes into overtime, and he begins to work to stoke the fires. I mean, like anybody would. If you were out camping, and you had a campfire, and it was cold up in the mountains, and the fire started going out, you would stoke it to get it going. You'd add some more tinder to it, and you'd get a big log after it got it going, and you'd have to build it in stages again. That's what God's going to do with the church. Now, you see, in that early church, there was a move of God. And of course, many theologians will say, well, you know, God had to do it that way. With the miracles and signs, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues, and all the rest of the miracles that were done, because that was the beginning of the church, you know, and that's fine and dandy, but then they leave it off there, because then they lead that into going into why we don't have as many signs and wonders and many of the things that we should have in today's churches, but we do not. Now, see, they believed, all that believed, truly believed, were together. They had the fear of the Lord, and they followed the disciples. This was a new power. And they had all things in common. In other words, they shared. They weren't afraid to share with one another. And verse 45 says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, that would truly be something. Now, you could say, well, that sounds like communism. Well, this was a move of the Spirit. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. And remember that, in the temple. And, of course, there was a lot of a lot of Jews in that first one, so it'd be easy for them to go in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now this was the beginning of it. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So you have the reverence and fear that was upon every soul, a reverence and a fear where men and women depart from sin. They consecrate themselves to God. They seek the Lord. The apostles are into the Word of God and fasting and praying all the time, bringing the pure, unadulterated Word of God. And the Spirit of God moves in the hearts of the believers and bring them together in commonality, bond, and love. And the love and the commonality allows them to share their bread, share whatever things they have, sell their possessions to help people. And see, this is where, you know, the churches today, many of the churches are out to keep their own coffers going. And for the church to be able to turn around and, you know, give their money to help the widow pay everything or help some of the others. See, many of us, especially in America, you know, we know what it's like to live in America. You have a job, you have your bills, you have debt, you go to church. And, of course, you give to the church, and they don't have to pay taxes, but they do what they do, and they keep their own budget, and they begin to grow and do real good, and they buy new properties and stuff. And all the while, they might have a few outreaches, but, very few of them really got into the point where they would be with all of the parishioners and help them to become debt-free, to teach them how to be debt-free. If you need something, just share it and give it to them and allow them to work together. And also, the problem with a lot of the churches is a lot of the people aren't dedicated like these earlier people were. You know, a lot of people, if you make them mad in one church, they end up leaving, going somewhere else. There's a lot of churches to choose from. They just go down the road. And this is really, the function in America of the churches. Now, of course, you have the fight between the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church and all the other Gentile churches. And, of course, you got the Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church. You got the all the others, Episcopal Church, and many, many, many others. And so the biggest commonality is we all claim to have the same God, the same Savior, but we have so many things that are different. And of course, there is going to be a whore church that's going to separate, that's going to look and going to be a tear, and you're going to have the true believers. And so, you know, we are seeing, though, here the so-called virgin territory of the birth of the church. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 3, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something on them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, of course, this is another mighty sign. And you can't deny the mighty signs. But see, the thing of it is, this guy had been there by the temple for a long time. And everybody just expected him. You know, when they went by, they just threw money at him, you know, an alm. Because he would ask money, you'd give him alms, and of course you feel better, you gave the guy alms. Now, Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none," but they did give him something else worth a lot more, and that was healing and deliverance. And when you really think about the purposes of the church, The purposes of the church is not to get rich. The purposes of the church is to allow a move of God through the believers so that you can be the hands, so you can be the feet, you can be whatever you need to be in order to reach out and bring people in. And of course, this was a mighty miracle. This is the first recorded miracle besides Pentecost. And of course, Peter and John are at the forefront here. And verse 10, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, that would make you wonder. But see, this is about the Lord. And in verse 12, Peter said, and it says, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are his witnesses. Now see, he uses the opportunity of the healing to tell the gospel, to tell you what happened. But he didn't mess around. You know, this is not user-friendly church here, like some of them are, where, you know, everything is easy peasy, sugar plum, fairy tale Jesus, sugar plum church. Don't get anybody upset. Walk on, you know, you're walking on glass, you're walking on ice. You just got to be careful because they're going to be mad at any second. So don't tell them anything. Don't tell them the truth. Don't tell them where they stand. Peter just blurted it out and told them. Now, this is the same Peter that denied the Lord three times. But after Pentecost, he's going into the temple with John, and he did a major miracle here. God did one straight through him. And so the issue of unforgiveness isn't there. The issue of not taking care of spiritual business wasn't there. Peter, yes, he made a mistake, but God forgave him. And of course, here we see this power of God demonstrated, and it, the thing that is so neat about this, it is delivered so flawlessly. I mean, and this is the way you know it's a miracle, because miracles happen like miracles should do. It's instantaneous. It's automatic. You know, it's not waiting. And I've been in a lot of meetings, and I've seen a lot of this stuff that you go through the healing line and, okay, you know, you got a touch of God, and all of a sudden the next day you don't have the touch of God. You know, you don't even act like you got healed anymore. Now, see, and I believe there's a lot of that, and there has been a lot of that, and I believe that it's also because we're so far removed and we aren't where we need to be. Now, see, in this particular instance, we can be rest assured that when the miracles begin to flow through us the way they need to be, they will be legitimate miracles. They will be absolutely supernatural. They will be absolutely miraculous, and they will be absolutely instantaneous, and there will be absolutely no doubt. Because, you know, the things that I've seen, you know, with people getting healed. And I mean, it was just like the time a gal got healed of cancer. You know, we all prayed for her, the pastor and us and the rest. And I was a youth pastor. And nothing happened, no bolts of lightning. She came back a week later, and the doctor couldn't find cancer anymore. I mean, You know, that's all we know. But see, it is so amazing that it's amazing. And see, that's exactly the way it is. Now, see, they came up and they were absolutely astounded. You know, and so they came up and they wanted to know, how did you do this? You know, all this other stuff. And Peter, he looked at him and he said, why are you marveling? You know, he makes it sound like, hey, this is nothing. But I can remember the time that he wanted to walk on water. Guess what? He didn't walk on water, did he? No. He sank. But he did try to walk on water. You see, Peter is no longer a disciple being discipled to be an apostle. He is an apostle now. He's a leader now. And he's got the infilling of the Holy Ghost now. And he knows the power of God. And he knows it's not his power. Remember, there's a time he tried to walk on water and he couldn't do it and he sunk. Now he just went by some guy, he saw it sitting there, he says, silver and gold have I none, but the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then he took him by his hand and lifted him up. See, that's the faith. And see, for the guy's part, the guy grabbed his hand. So God had to move in the guy's heart as well. So the guy had to have felt a power in his body, or he wouldn't have moved. He'd have just stayed there. But see, when Peter held out his hand and he grabbed it and lifted him up, you're not going to lift someone up if they don't want to get up. You know, and I've been in healing lines, and I've been in churches where they prayed for people that healed, and I can guarantee you, not everybody just gets up because you say, well, hey, you've been healed. No, they got to know, and this guy knew. He felt the power of God. Now, see, this is what we're talking about, when we're talking about, especially in the last days, the move of God, the power of God flowing through the believers. And in verse 16, he says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. That's the faith of Jesus. We find the faith of Jesus in Revelation mentioned. And that's the faith we need to be having. And now, brethren, now, see, when Peter first started telling them, he told them exactly what they did. He didn't beat around the bush. He said, you know, you denied the Holy One and the just, and you desired a murder to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, and we're witnesses to that. But see, now, this is where the mercy and the understanding comes in at. He's given them this, and now he says, and now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. See, they didn't know. They were looking for a political Messiah. And so he's telling them this, and it's really interesting because, you know, they are in the temple. You know, this is the meeting place. Everybody is listening. And I can guarantee you Paul was there too. He would have been there. Now, it took Paul a while for him to understand all this. Because later he says, I did ignorantly. Now, see, Peter here is telling them, I know that through ignorance you did this. Now, see, although he said that, there was still a bunch of Jews who did not believe, who did not believe in the Messiah, who couldn't understand the miracles, but did not believe. And they didn't understand what was happening. And after a while, when the church really started growing, then they started persecuting the church. And that's when Paul started going through, taking the bull by the horns, because he was there. He was at the death of Stephen. Paul was very much, at that time, Saul, he was very much a part of this early church. He watched it grow. He was in the temple, and he ravaged it for a while till God got a hold of his heart. In Acts 3:18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. So he's telling them that this prophecy, that these things had to happen. So he told them the truth. You need to tell people the truth about sin, folks. And of course, when we talk about miracles, miracles and signs accompanying the preaching of the Word of God. Now, not everywhere are you going to see miracles. Unfortunately, that's because people don't believe, even for the Lord. He didn't do a lot of mighty miracles, even in his hometown, because they didn't believe. Yet, you have this little move here. You tell them the truth. You tell them in love. Now see, the thing that motivated him in the first place was the miracle. And this is being led of the Spirit. I'm not advocating going out and just shouting from a rooftop, "You're a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners." That's not what I'm saying. But see, what Peter did was, there was a miracle. And in the midst of the miracle, he began to talk to them and apply the fact of the gospel and what they had personally done to deny the Lord. You have to relate and you have to apply these things, but yet, in the same instant, we can't mess around with the gospel. It's the gospel. That's what we have to tell people. But see, there's people today that are in the same boat. They're full of ignorance. They don't know. They're in darkness. And people in darkness, there's even people in darkness that call themselves Christians today, and they don't really know the truth. I know. I was a Methodist for years and years and years. God got me out of the church in order to get me saved and wake me up. And then, of course, I went through Bible school, but he had to get me out of Bible school in order to teach me something. I already knew things from Bible school, but he had to teach me things they couldn't teach me. But those things which God had called the end from the beginning concerning Christ, it was fulfilled. So he's done explaining it. In verse 19, he says, then this is the solution, folks. Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall see and send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And there is going to be a time of restitution when he's going to restore everything, but that is after the tribulation. Now, there is going to be a renewal when the Lord comes and he rules and reigns for 1,000 years. There will be a renewal there. But there is going to be a remaking of the heavens and the earth at the end of that. There is that is going to be coming. And that's okay. Also when all of eternity will be moved. I mean, it'll be, that's the timeline. Eternity. And all those things you don't know, you'll know. Now see, he's related everything. Now, see, if you're living at the time in Jerusalem as a Jew, you've had your you know, your lands taken away from you, your temple pillaged, your priest taken away, and many other things. You sin too. On top of all of that, you served other gods. You served Baal and Ashtaroth and the Queen of Heaven. That's why God sent judgment. You wouldn't listen. So now they have a storied history. They've had a magnificent, you know, Israel saw magnificence under the hand of Solomon. But he couldn't have done that without his father David, who was the warrior king who had conquered all the enemies. And so you're there now watching all this come to pass, and Rome is the power. And you're in a temple in Jerusalem, and that's it. I mean, you don't own Jerusalem. It's not yours. You are just citizens, and Rome is the power. If you make them mad, if you do anything, they have the power to do something to you. It's kind of interesting, though, that Paul, who was around at the time, was a Roman citizen and freeborn. He was freeborn. So Paul had a lot of things going for him. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was freeborn. He was a Roman citizen. He was also known very well in the Sanhedrin and the high priest and all of them there. He was very high up. If he hadn't have gotten saved, he would have been one of the richest men there. He would have been very, very high, very, very powerful, even more so. But because he did get saved, because he did come to the Lord, many of his kin rejected him, and they spent their whole life following him around and trying to destroy what he was doing. Because in the beginning, they tried to debate with him, and they'd lose. Then after a while, they gave up on that, and they just decided to try to kill him because they couldn't out-debate him. Anytime they'd get in the word with him, he'd win. Now, in Acts 3:22, Peter quotes this. He says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." Now see, that's found in Deuteronomy 18, 15, and 16. And that's, of course, in the Pentateuch. And this is the words in the Pentateuch. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. According to all that thou desiredest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, that they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command them. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him." And that the Lord is that prophet. And that's just one of the fulfillments in Scripture that he fulfilled. He fulfilled a lot of them, all of them. And so this is the very Scripture that Peter was relating to them. And in Acts 3:23 it says, "Shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." And this is the way the gospel, when you follow it through Acts, and even through the gospels, it was to the Jews first. And then it would go to the Gentiles. And of course, Paul deals more with this in Romans chapter 11, how this all works. But you see, Peter related that miracle to all the people and led them through the history and brought up their own words of the prophets, which they would have known, in order to get them to understand what God had been doing. Because Paul even talked about this, the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks require wisdom. And the Greeks, of course, represent the Gentiles. They require wisdom, knowledge, you know, science, technology. They require something else. But to the Jews, it was, they needed to see a sign. What sign did you give? Now the Lord said, the sign I give you, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. That's what he said. I will raise it up. And he spoke of the temple of his body, not of the temple of bricks and stones. And he said, I will raise it up. And that's what he did. I went through a study not too long ago, and I related to you all the I ams that he said. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You look up the word I am that he said. And when we see the word I am, we think of Moses saying to the burning bush, to God there, who shall I say sent me? And he says, I am that I am hath sent me. Tell them, I am hath sent me. I am. Yes, he that has always been, there's only one of them. There was never anybody before him, there'll never be anybody after him. I am. I exist. I've always been here. I always will be here. I am. Now that was the end of chapter 3. It's an amazing thing when we look at this stuff. I find it amazing when I think about everything that when we look at it, what the Lord is going to do, what we're going through, you know, what has happened. And when you look at Acts and you understand that this is a literal event and events, then that's what makes it so amazing. Now, see, in chapter 4 of Acts, and verse 1, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Now you see, they did this in the temple. And there was a lot of them that were hard-hearted, that just wouldn't believe. Now see, whenever you're going to preach the gospel, you're going to have that group. They're unaffected, they're untouched, the Spirit of God doesn't even begin to move their hearts. You can't just come to the Lord whenever. The Lord calls you. He draws you near. And see, we live in a society, truthfully spoken, in America, that we have heard the gospel a lot. And we have a lot of hard-hearted, cold people that don't believe anymore, that don't believe the story, don't want to believe it, and they have given themselves over to new interpretations. And this is where you're at in the end of days. You're in the end of days, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where they will reject the love of the truth. And that's everything we've been talking about. The truth. The fact that God so loved the world. The fact that Yahshua loved his Father and loved the world and gave his life as a ransom for many. But see, they were grieved, and they're going to take action. Now see, that's what the enemy does. Take action. And so, folks in the churches today, pastors, like my old Acts teacher told us, when you preach, preach with your bags packed. Because you could very well get kicked out. And see, this is what we have to be willing to do as followers. Preach the truth no matter what they're going to do. See, Revelation 12:11, they overcame, past tense, by the blood of the Lamb. They've been born again. They've accepted the sacrifice. They believed on him. The word of their testimony, they've testified. They've told what the Lord's done. And the Lord also says, you know, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father and his angels. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father and my angels. And then he goes on to say, and you love not your life unto the death. And this is literally in the end of days. This is, they overcame him, the devil, the beast, and all of his minions, all of his dark powers, because they were resolute. They moved forward. The Lord was the number one. And see, that is where we're headed. And we've got to get out of the easy peasy, soft soap stuff that we're used to. It's going to get tough. But we're still to walk in love. But we can't deny the truth. Now see, he told the truth, but the people in the temple, there were those there that were grieved. And I got news for you. You preach the truth, and there's going to be Christians and others, religionists and others around you, and even unbelievers, and they're all going to be grieved at what you say. And I can tell you, you get up and you start telling that Jesus Christ, Yahshua, is the only way, the truth, and the life, that you must be redeemed by him. There's only one redemption under God, and that's through him. They're going to be grieved. They're not going to want to hear it. And I mean worldwide. The United Nations, the UN, NATO, all the Muslim nations, the EU, China, Russia, you name it, they don't want to hear it. Even the Catholic Church don't want to hear it. Because they have made a way for everybody under the Catholic Church. They've been working on that forever. Don't get mad at me. That's just the way it is. But this is more than man. It's more than their denominations. It's more than their doctrine. You need to get into the truth. Get into the original truth. And Acts 4:3, and they laid hands on them, put them in the hold. That's, you know, that's as good as saying jail. Unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now see, this is the problem. You know, you have some little Jewish preacher that showed up out of nowhere, rabbi, who isn't even, you know, of the proper lineage, really, to them. He wasn't a Levite. But you see, he was after the order of Melchizedek. He wasn't after the order of the Levi. Melchizedek represents his everlasting nature. Because we didn't know the beginning and end of Melchizedek, and neither did you know the beginning and the end of the Lord, for he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And so, you have this. You go out and you get rid of the leader. You only have like 12 apostles, 12 major men that were the main ones, and you could easily have gotten rid of them. And then they have a bunch of other believers round about, and most of the other people that just followed them, well, they will eventually just toe the line, and you know that. So you string him up on a cross. All of a sudden they're saying he raised from the dead. He shows himself to 500 people at once, and everybody starts becoming excited again because they saw him. And then those 12 people, along with a bunch more, 120 in the upper room, the Holy Spirit gets poured out, and heaven is poured out. Miracles are happening. All of a sudden now, you don't have just one preacher and 12 disciples and a few others. You have 3,000 the first day, and now all of a sudden it says the number of men was about 5,000. I mean, this is not going good. If you're, the high priest and you're the Sanhedrin and you're supposed to be, having everybody do what you're saying. So this isn't good. And they were even in the temple telling this stuff. So it's really not good. See, this is how bold Peter... Well, you know, where'd you expect them to go? They're Jews. They'd always go into the temple. And so they had to do something with them. They put their hands on them, put them in the hold. They wanted to shut them up and get them away from there. What are you going to do with them? I mean, you kill their leader and all of a sudden he's alive, they say, and miracles and signs and wonders. Nobody does this. You haven't seen miracles like that at all. And they're miracles that you can't deny. You can't say, well, no, not really. No, this is a guy that couldn't walk. He's suddenly walking. And that's just the beginning of miracles. And pretty soon they're going to have Paul, who goes and ravages the church. Pretty soon he gets saved. And then all of a sudden you have the high priest, the Sanhedrin, and the others. They have to worry about Paul now, and he was the most powerful dude there. These people are losing. That's what they're thinking. But what's happening is God is touching the hearts of Jews who realize that Peter, James, and John and the boys and those in the upper room were telling the truth, and this is the power of God, and this is the way. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and see, everybody's getting together. This is serious business. And Annas, the high priest, former high priest, but retained title, and Caiaphas, acting high priest, and son-in-law to Annas, and John and Alexander, they're members of the high council, and as many as were kindred of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. Well, when you've got problems, you call in everybody you can. You know, if there was going to be a war, then the president would have to call his war council together, you know, all of his generals and everybody together, because this is serious business. Well, this was war. This was war, and the Roman Empire didn't even know about this. But this war was happening in this little temple, and it was the Jews versus who knows what, some new power. They thought they had taken care of it, but now all of a sudden, they've got their hands full. They got people believing, and they shouldn't be believing because they're Jews. And if you're Annas, the high priest, or Caiaphas, and you want the people to be doing what you tell them to do, you are not happy. You're not a happy camper right now. And so they're bringing, Peter and John up. They're going to talk to these guys. You know, they're... You know, what are we going to have to do with you? String you up like we did your leader? Well, no, they're not going to do that. Why? Because it's not time. No, they're not going to do anything with them. Because there's something that these people haven't figured out yet. This is beyond them. So in Acts 4:7, and when they had set them in the midst, of course, you know, the only way to really have power is outnumber them and put them in the center, you see. And then you all gather around so you can intimidate them just by looking at them, being angry and looking official and like you're high and mighty and righteous. You want to intimidate them. I mean, you look at the courts today. That's one of the things the lawyers do. They're slick willies, boy. You sit up there and they put you on the hot seat, man. You might think you know, but by the time they get done with you, you'll think up is down and down is up and right is left and left is right. And for some people, that's the way it is anyway. But if you're, you know, they're on the hot seat, by the time they get done with you, you won't even know the color of your own eyes. Because that's the way it works. Intimidation. They know how to get to your psyche. So these were professional religionists. These were Jews. These were in the high order within the temple, and they were good at weeding out troublemakers. This is the same group that used to kill all the prophets. Jeremiah was a troublemaker. So was Isaiah. And Elijah, man, I'll tell you. Samuel, are you kidding me? The soldiers, though, you know, the Old Testament does say that. I mean, it says, fear God and the prophets. You didn't mess with them prophets. They could call fire down on you and kill you. Now, there's going to be another two prophets come during the tribulation, and they will bring fire down upon anybody who tries to kill them. They will. That's scripture. So they're setting them in the midst, and they say, they're getting right to the point. By what power or by what name have you done this? Well, he already told them. He told everybody. He preached to them Jesus. He told them. It wasn't much. It wasn't us, he says. Why do you look on us? Why are you surprised? Didn't you know that there's a God in heaven that heals? You're Jews. You should know that. Boy. Well, you know, notice they didn't say Yahshua. They didn't mention his name here. They know what power, and they know what name. They're not dumb. They know what name. That's why they're all standing there. They don't like the name. They remember him being crucified. They know very well who he is, for crying out loud. But this is the way it works. Intimidation. Then Peter, okay, filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled. In other words, when you see Peter filled with the Holy Ghost, right then you need to just fold your chair up, say, I'm sorry, Peter, it's time for me to go. You know, I mean, but see, today we wouldn't do that because there's no fear of God. We wouldn't recognize a true prophet, at least many people. You know, if they were standing right beside him. We have no fear of God in this country. We don't. And we don't have the proper fear of God, if there is any fear at all in the churches and even in the pastors and in the deacons and in the Christians themselves. Now, you may think this is harsh, my friends, but it's for your own good to know. We need to wake up to where we're headed. After all, it was the Lord who talked about the Laodicean church. They thought they were rich and in need of nothing, but he said, you're wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Now, what part of that do you not understand? And towards the end of it, he's seen knocking on the door to the church to be let in. I mean, that's where the Lord is today in many churches. He's on the outside knocking, trying to get in because they threw him out. That's exactly where the devil wants him. So Peter continues, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole? Now, see, he's not saying why you bunch of hypocrites here. No. He's saying if you're trying to find out about the good deed done to this man and how it is done, then I'll tell you. I'll be glad to tell you. You know, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And that's really what Peter's doing here. He says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now see, that's that's the nice part. And if we be examined this day of the good deed done by what means, that's the good part. But see, the good part and the soft answer, although it's a soft answer, it hits like a hammer, because he says then, whom you crucified. Now he's talking to the big mucky mucks now, okay? Whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now see, the problem of it is, Peter, while he's speaking soft, well, let's say quiet tones, he's not angry here. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. But the word goes forth like iron, like a hammer, and it shatters. Because what he's about to say, he says in verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. See, you're trying to build Israel. But the cornerstone is the one you've rejected, for he is Israel. And he quotes Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders put on one side has become the chief stone of the building. This is the Lord's doing, it is wonder in our eyes. Now you see, they rejected it, but in fact, God put Jesus as the cornerstone. You can argue all you want. It's too late. You can argue all you want, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Mormon, whether you're a Hindu, no matter what you are, atheist, agnostic, it doesn't matter. God set the cornerstone. And that's it. Now, folks, our message is that. We can't help it. We didn't do it. We are just telling what the testimony is. God set the stone. And he's not only the head of the corner, the cornerstone for the building of Israel, but for spiritual Israel as well. For the Israel which is going to be one. One day, all will be one in Christ. Jew, Gentile, male, female, all one in him. Yea and amen. For God has concluded, Romans chapter 11, that all be guilty so that he might save some. And then he goes on to say, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now see, the elders looked up and they saw both of them, and this is what Scripture says of them. Now when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, my friends, what I propose to you today is that you and I and all those who call themselves Christians have the boldness of Peter and John. Considering ourselves unlearned and ignorant men, people who believe God, who are filled with the Holy Ghost, who see miracles and signs and knowledge, and that people will see us and they'll say they've been with Jesus. That is where the last days church needs to be. They need to look at us and say, you know, they've been with Jesus. If I get sick, I want them to pray for me. If I need help, I want to talk to them. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name, feed your people. Move on their hearts and save all those who hear who do not believe in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and streaming of this word. In Jesus' name, let it be done, let it be done, let it be done, Father. Let this be recorded in heaven as it is. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah. We don't have much time. That's amazing. I look forward to seeing this in this day and age. We should be seeing that now.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's exactly what we should be doing.
I think we've got some exciting times coming.
Well, you know, things, you know, I think that they can definitely change. I think God is more than able.
Oh, amen. Amen.
But it just amazes me when I go through this.
It is amazing what's been recorded, you know, of the past. And it is truly amazing. I want to see that today. I want to see that.
Yep, so do I. I think it's, I don't know. It's comforting to know, you know. And if
yes.
you put it in the context of who our God is, then he's able to keep us and save us to the uttermost.
Amen.
Well, we're going to have to.
And the just shall live by faith.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to have to go, Tower.
Okay, well, God bless you, everyone, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow night for Sound of Shofar on Passover.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We love you.
Shalom, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.